So with the Lord's help this morning, I'd like to continue with the theme of the Sermon on the Mount and in the way that we're looking at this, an analogy about the herbs and spices of our Christian walk. The timing of this turned out to be actually perfect in some ways, as we are now the Sunday before Thanksgiving. A lot of us are going to be very involved with menu planning and recipe planning and special kinds of foods that we hope to partake of in the next week. And in that same way, in our Christian walk, the menus that we plan in life and the recipes that we conjure up, so to speak, are things that should take effort and things that actually should take planning with our spiritual eyes as we approach life. So I would just like to quickly review a few things before we launch into some new aspects of this. We were talking about there being 19 themes in the Sermon on the Mount. That does not include the Beatitudes, of which there are 9. Okay, so if we add those things together, right, roughly there would be 28 different things that Jesus speaks about in the Sermon on the Mount. But I've lumped the Beatitudes together, and we'll call that one. So with that, there actually are 19 different teachings in the Sermon on the Mount, which for the purpose of our discussions today, we're looking at as like an herb or a spice, each one of these teachings being a unique thing that has sort of a unique flavor to it. So to go through them briefly again, Jesus teaches about salt and light. He teaches about the law. Jesus teaches about anger. He teaches about lust. He teaches about divorce and commitment. He teaches about vows. He teaches about revenge. He teaches about loving our enemies. Teaches about giving to the needy. Teaches us about prayer. Teaches us about fasting. He teaches about money. He teaches about worry. He teaches about judging others. He teaches about pursuing God. That's like asking, knocking. He teaches about the way to heaven. He teaches about fruits in people's lives. And he teaches about a solid foundation. Those are all the teachings in Matthew 5 through 7. So the whole purpose of this sermon series is actually to give us a way of seeing things in the Bible in a kind of life application that we might not always see. Sometimes we have to look at things in different ways in our life experience to be able to see things. And when we see things in a different way, it really sticks with us sometimes in life. It really sticks with us. I just want to give you a short example of that. You know, a few weeks ago in our studies of Revelation, we were talking about the things that John wrote about, and he wrote there about something looking like an emerald. You know, we all might think we know what an emerald is, and it's just a word that describes something unusual like a color. Have you had an experience with a color that just leaves you with a very, very vivid memory somehow of what that is? So I had that experience once in life related to emerald or green. I've only been to Ireland once, but once in life I was taking a flight out of Heathrow into Cork, and I will never forget that moment, unexpected moment, looking out over the Irish Sea when we were approaching the landing into Cork, or as in Ireland, as they say, Cork. My first view of the Irish coast is something that I will never, ever forget. The juxtaposition of the blue Irish Sea against the hills, the cliffs of the Irish coast was a kind of blue and green that I have never, ever, ever seen in my life before. And in my mind's eye, I can still picture those two colors. And I think like they'll be used now as a standard in my life. Every time I see the color green, it will be matched against that green that I have in my mind's eye from having seen the coast of Ireland. If I would tell you that it was lush, okay, I would have to say that that is a simple, silly, four-letter word, L-U-S-H, that does not even come close to describing what I saw in that color. Now move with me for a moment from colors to flavors, spices, smells or aromas. We have these same things in life that we've come into contact with that trigger either, if not deep memories, they make an impression on us that is there for a lifetime. Okay? I will never, ever forget the aroma of Hudson Auditorium at Massanutten Springs. That structure had a smell to it. And you know what? That was 40 years ago when we visited, Lucas and I visited Massanutten Springs about 2 years ago. We were stuck in Harrisonburg getting our car fixed. And I took him over to Massanutten Springs. And you know what? After, I don't know, maybe that structure is there for 100 years. You walk into Hudson Auditorium and it still smells the same way. And that smell to me triggered surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That's one of the songs that we always sang in Hudson Auditorium. Spices and herbs and flavors can really trigger things in life that resonate with us in the way that God made us. And taking that a step further, the thing is, what are the ways that we're using these things to cook up the recipes in our life for others to consume that really resonate with them in a deep way that they will not soon forget or speaks to them in their need? So we're focusing on the teachings on the Sermon on the Mount in a kind of indirect way this morning. I'm actually not going to be reading a lot from the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be reading from a different part of Scripture that brings to life application the Sermon on the Mount. I decided this morning that I'm going to just tweak the analogy a little bit. In speaking about, you know, recipes and cooking things up, of course, our sisters probably are going to be able to identify with that more than most of our brothers. There are not too many of us that are really cooks in that regard. We appreciate being on the receiving end of those that are busy doing the cooking, but I wanted to maybe give you another biblical analogy of herbs and spices that maybe we will connect with a little bit more directly. That would be what I regard as being perhaps the oldest biblical profession. In my mind, you know, what is a kind of profession that they had in Bible times that might be very uniquely associated with that point in time that we just really don't have anymore? And that's the one that I would like to use as an added analogy this morning, and that would be that of a spice merchant, one who trades in spices. Nobody might have told you this before, but you just know that, of course, that has to be about the most biblical of professions, a spice merchant. In my mind, as I read some of the Bible stories and the one that we're going to read about today, I don't know why, but I always had in my mind that that was the story about a spice merchant. It's kind of a lost profession in some ways, but not completely. I remember teasing somebody about this, but it's very true that in our circles, I still know of one person who is a spice merchant. He lives in the West, so we don't see much of him in our parts, but some of you might remember Kurt Peters from Portland, from the Portland Church. So Kurt might be retired now, I think, but Kurt was a spice merchant. He worked for McCormick, only person I ever met in my life that worked for a spice company, but his whole life, pretty much, he'd worked for McCormick, where Kurt Peters is Cal Peters' brother, right? One of the four brothers from the Portland Church. So it's not completely lost profession, but Kurt was a spice merchant. And he made his livelihood from trading spices with people. So for you brothers that might not be that active in the kitchen, let's consider for a moment a different variation on this for your life as a spice merchant and the things that you're trading with in your life and how that affects others. So let's read together from a portion of Scripture that I think illustrates this very well. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 10. And of course, this is the story of the Good Samaritan. And I've always had in my mind's eye that this is the story of a spice merchant. I'll tell you why when we get to the end of the story. But let's read with each other from verse 30. This is a life application now. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay.' Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And of course, this is the lawyer that said unto him, "He that showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise." Ending with verse 37. So I've always viewed this as a man that was on a business trip, obviously having a donkey or something along with him that was bearing whatever he was carrying along with him. And he had oil, he had wine along with him. And I'm just have had in my mind that this man was a trader of goods. And oil and wine were just the other things that he had along with him with the spices that he might have borne. extend to me that courtesy of letting me run with that a little bit. I'm imagining also in my mind's eye when he found this man. So we read a story here of three different recipes, right? Three different recipes, three different menus that were served up by this priest, this Levite, and this Samaritan. I'm picturing in my own eye when he found this man who had fallen amongst the thieves and saw how injured he was and so on, that he went to work making a mixture of some of the spices that he had and pouring into that oil and wine, making some kind of an ointment that he put on the wounds of the man as he bound him up and then brought him to the place where he was overnighting on his business trip, and when he was going to come back, he would extend whatever he might have owed on this. You know, not unlike some of the other things that we read in the scriptures of ointment at the time of Jesus' burial, or ointment that Mary and others used in some ways to do something special for somebody. You know, in my mind, there's spices that are in this ointment. The Bible speaks of spikenard and other things that we really don't come into contact with in our day and age now. But there are other kind of spices that are more common among us. But if you think for a moment now with this Samaritan and some of the things in the list that I told, you know, mentioned to you about the Sermon on the Mount, can you see things from the Sermon on the Mount that this Samaritan mixed up together in a special kind of recipe as he addressed the needs of this man that fell by the end of the road, by the side of the road? When we use spices in life, in the recipes of life, hardly ever do we use one thing. Who among us ladies only cooks with salt? No one does that. Well, maybe for one dish they might, but then with the other dishes that one serves up, they have other things in there. Who alone cooks with pepper? No one does that. As we read in the list of the things on the Sermon on the Mount, from teachings of salt and life and loving our enemies and giving to the needy and prayer and fasting and the way we use our money and issues of worry in life, as we go through the things of life, we never use only one of those things. It's always a mixture of many of them that are in the events of life. And the question this morning that I have for you is, how are you and I mixing those things together in the way that we serve things to other people? I've prepared a little bit something for you today, Jacob and Lucas. If you could pass those things out that I've made just a little bit something that I wanted to leave with you that hopefully will. We'll encourage some thinking on your end. I think I made 60 of these. I hope that there should be enough. But I'm just going to wait for a moment here until you can just sort of take a look at these things that I want to kind of jog your mind. Oh, Luke, yeah, you got to give one to Ethan and Ellie too, for sure. That we have enough for them, I think. Mike, I'll give you mine. So I mean this to be a little bit fun as we go through this, but there's a purpose in this. It's not just to bring a smile on people's face, but that's a good thing in life too. Right. So I went online and looked a little bit for a list of something like 25 spices. So we've got 28 biblical teachings there that I mentioned to you, and actually found a list on McCormick of 25 spices. You'll notice, I just want to point one thing out, there's no cilantro on the list. Do you know why there's no cilantro on the list? Because I get to make up the list this morning, that's why. So, no cilantro on this list, but there are 25 spices there. So when I polled the sisters last time of you know, guessing how many spices you might have in your kitchen, there are two people that got back to me. One sister has over 50 spices. I'll let you guess who that is. But you know what? The point is, in life, we can't be uber-herbed and uber-spiced. Okay? We like a lot of different things in life. But this is the point, as we look at this list over here, that when you go down the rows, okay, that list Jesus made, that list we can't toy with. That list he made. The list across the top on the spices in life, well, that's the list that you and I make for illustrative purposes. Of the kind of flavors and the kind of tastes and things in life that we like. And just like you would cook with those things in certain combinations, just so that when we go through life, we cook with the teachings of Jesus in certain combinations. How do we cook with those things, and what do they taste like, and what do they mean? So here's a few things in life application for us this morning. When we read in the Old Testament of the echoes from the past, of hear a voice calling, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When I look at that short list of the things that Jesus taught, for me, you know what? That's the way of the Lord. That is sort of the cliff note version of the way of the Lord, if you're going to look down that list of 28 things. When we look at the Sermon on the Mount, it begins with salt and light. And the last teaching that I mentioned to you is, you know, a stable, building a solid foundation in life. If you just go with me for a moment, let me just say that building a solid foundation might be something like pepper. The Sermon on the Mount starts with salt, ends with pepper. Those are the two bookends. And all the rest of the flavors in life come in between the two. Perhaps for most of us, salt and pepper are the main ingredients of spices of flavor that we like, and the rest of life somehow comes in between those two. So let me point out, when we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, though, we shouldn't be looking at these things as flavors that we can necessarily eliminate in life. Let's say, as an example, that if we think about something like anger, the Sermon on the Mount doesn't teach that we automatically get rid of all anger in life. We can't. Anger is a part of life. Sometimes we're angry, okay? What the Bible teaches, how we cook with that anger. How you cook with it. Ultimately, that makes up the recipes of life. It's not that we get rid of it. That actually might be something like, as an example, things in life that are bitter. You know what? We can't get rid of bitter flavors in life. They're just there. Bitter things are there. And actually, a good cook even knows how to use those things, or knows how to cook with those things in ways that actually are not offensive to other people. Now, these might be flavors that you don't like very much. I mean, when I was little, I didn't either, but things change in life. You know, if you're going to cook something like Brussels sprouts, they're bitter. Okay, if you're going to use something like quinine, it's bitter. And if you have too much of those things in life, it's awful. Okay, but one who's careful in life knows how to cook with certain things, knows how to cook with those things that it can be palatable. There are times and ways in life that we actually might get angry. But the way we cook, the way we trade with those things, actually doesn't violate any other kind of life principle, or ultimately doesn't create conflict with others. That's what the Bible teaches about. When we read about things like anger, lust, or judging, it's not that these things can be completely removed from life. Jesus is actually teaching how we deal with those things in ways actually that are still spiritually healthy for us, you know, in that sense, that they're not, we know how to deal with things in a way that doesn't harm us. But that doesn't mean actually that these things are removed. Now, look over the list of the spices, if you would. And I'm wondering, as you look at these individual flavors, which one of them you would actually mix together in ways that are common to you. Things that you like mixed together. It's your choice how we're going to mix these things together, okay? The Colonel has 11 herbs and spices that he mixes together, right? Heinz has 57. Right? Heinz has 57. That's uber. Okay? It's your choice in that regard. It's not right or wrong. It's your choice about the flavors and things in life that you mix together. But the point is now, as you look down the teachings of the Lord Jesus, again, how are those things mixed together in what proportions in your life? Is there maybe a spice that should be there that there's very little of? Might want to decide as you start to plan the menus of your life and the recipes of your life that, you know what, I've got to cook with that one a little bit more. Got to plan some recipes where those things are actually put to good spiritual use in my life. You get to create the stories in your life in the way that you choose. God has given us that authority. Now again, go back for a moment, if you would, to the Good Samaritan. In that story, as an example, he didn't just show compassion. He did. But he didn't just show compassion. If you think for a moment, there are other things that are in that story that might be illustrated by other teachings of the Lord Jesus. In that regard, it was a life event that he cooked with, of many things that were put together that were all part of that story. Jesus, as an example, when he spoke about divorce, was actually speaking about commitment to people. Well, we see that in this story as well, right? He paid the innkeeper when he went, and he said, if I come back and I owe more, I'm going to pay you more. His responsibility to that other involved a kind of commitment that went on past that initial life crisis of having found the man on the side of the road. There are many other things there in the teaching of Jesus, I'm sure in your mind's eye, that you could put together that were part of his story. Now, again, the question is, what about you and what about me? There might be times in life for each of us where we inadvertently kind of serve up cold chili. That could be okay, right? Cold chili for the occasional lunch, that's not bad. Okay, but you don't always want to serve cold chili. Even people in life, actually, that aren't used to eating well, or really don't care much for it, I believe, actually, that they notice quality when it's served to them. They notice. It's not that every flavor they like, maybe, but you know what? They notice quality when it's served to them. In that same regard, for you and I, when we go about creating the menus and the recipes of our life, when those things are actually mixed in with good Christian teachings and principles, it creates something that I'm describing now as quality. And people notice. Oddly enough, you know what? It might be one of those things or they can't even put their finger on it. Occasionally, you and I have had that kind of meal too, right? Something really, really, where we know this is good, and yet you can't put your finger on what is it that went into this that actually made it taste so good. And we might try and try, but if you're like me, at some point in time, I'm like, forget about it. You know what? I just want to enjoy it now. I'm not going to think about what's in this. Let's just put that aside for right now, and let's just enjoy this meal. People do that. They can't figure out what went into it, but they know quality. And it touches them in a way, ultimately, that's memorable. In a way that speaks to them in somehow a very vulnerable kind of way that touches them in a deep place in their life. I'd like you to go home with that list, again, just for fun. And as you're thinking about some of the way those spices and herbs might be mixed together, I want you to think about experiences that you've made in life where perhaps the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount were also mixed together in a certain kind of way. What I'd like to encourage each one of us this morning, and maybe there's just going to be one more in the series to wrap this up, what I'd like to encourage each of us to do is, in our spiritual life, just as your life in the kitchen or in your life as a spice merchant, it's best if we're not haphazard in life and just serve things up the way they come. You know, we don't want to be the ones in life, actually, that just, you know, throws things on the dinner plate of life and they just come up however they come up. I believe that people that are people of the Spirit and people of faith are connected in a deeper way to see things in life, that we're always interested, actually, in serving things up in life that are thoughtful, and serving things up that are deliberate. Serving things up that are not knee-jerk. Not serving things up that are happenstance. We think about the affairs of life, and we think about other people, and we think about the experiences that we're making. And we try with our mind's eye and with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and with constant prayers that are going up to the Father to give us light and give us insight to serve up the kinds of recipes and menus in life ultimately that do bespeak some kind of quality and do involve some kind of care. Something that really is deliberate, something that we've put some effort into serving up. Because it matters. As you're thinking of the events in your life, and you're thinking about the things that might go into it, maybe the list, the short list of the Sermon on the Mount might be useful to you. You know, as you're thinking about how are these things mixed in your interactions in your marriage, in your family life, in your extended family, in our church life, in your business relationships, in just the way you're coping with some of the things in life that all come each of our ways that we don't have a choice, that things in life just come our way, right? And there are times that we actually have to hurry up and cook things in life, not that we have time to plan a meal, but something has come our way and we're just responding to things and we're cooking things up as we're responding to things in life. I'm hoping and praying that this illustration will just allow us to see things in somewhat of a different way, like we can see a color in a unique way, or like at times maybe even we might have a memory of a smell or something like that that comes back to mind from a different point in life, and say, you know what, I miss some of that. I think I need to use a little bit more of that in life. How many of us, you sisters, haven't cooked something in a long time, and then suddenly the recipe comes back to mind, and you say, oh, I've got to cook that again. It's been a long time since we had that one, but that was good when we enjoyed it. Life experiences are the same way, and as I know each one of you, and I think there is a desire to be thoughtful about the things in life. We don't want to cook spiritually in a haphazard way. Pray that the Lord would speak to you with this in some kind of way as we approach this special blessing of Thanksgiving and a special time of food, a special time of menu, a special time of recipes and flavors, that we would also think for a moment about how these things, in a broader sense, are being spun into our lives and how the Spirit is using us in our lives to serve things up to other people. Pray that each one of us has a blessed week as we move forward into this wonderful occasion of Thanksgiving, and that the foods of the season might somehow cause us to reflect a little bit about our spiritual life in the same season. The Lord bless you and keep each one of you.